Spawnily is the premier podcast spotlighting people of color. Every week, we talk news, what we've been playing, and tell you who's invited to the cookout. Our show is all about talking about gaming through a prism of blackness because we are the culture. Welcome to Bukkake, y'all.
Yo, what up, everybody? This is the Spawnily Podcast with Khalif Adams. I'm your host, Khalif Adams. I hope you're doing well. I hope you're having a wonderful week. Happy April Fool's Day. It is the 1st of April. There are no fools here. We do nothing but tell truth and share dopeness across the internet, across the world, and across the planet. Again, super excited to have everyone here. It has been a minute since I've gotten a chance to do a show. It's been extremely busy with me running around the world trying to get things done. I came home from vacation, then went to GDC, came back home, got real lazy, and was like, yo, I don't want to talk about video games no more anyway. So this is perfect, but it's great. You get a chance to come back, commiserate, have some really great conversations, and know that this is going to be a pretty fun show. I've been waiting for a while to get our guest on and come rock with me. And with all the energy that has been on the internet over the past couple of months, there is no one better to have on to talk about what is happening in the world of the internet, but my homie, senior editor from Kotaku. We have Alyssa Mercante coming and rocking with us this week on the big show. What the deal be, Alyssa? How you doing? How's things?
What up? How are you?
I'm chilling. First of all, thank you so much for spending some time with me today. It's been a really interesting couple of months. I have been a big fan of your work across many, many, many years with the work that you do. I think you really have a fantastic eye for the news and really do bring some really great angles to some of the conversations that we see within the gaming space. So I am super excited to have you on with the dopest Call Me Daddy shirt.
I thought they'd like it. I mean, first of all, I'm really honored to be here. I'm a huge fan of yours. I've always wanted to be involved. And obviously, I also love everyone that you roll with usually. So the crew is good. The crew is solid. And that's unsurprising. You guys cultivate a nice little community. And I am honored to be here. And I will be on my best, worst behavior.
Oh, please, please, please. This is not about being nice. This is about being honest, right? And I think that's the beauty of what we get a chance to do on our show. And thank you for the huge compliment. I think Chicago has been a really good place for honest conversation about the world that we actually live in as opposed to the ones that people think we do. I think that is an important distinction that we get a chance to have here. So I will cheers to you with my beer.
Pow, hey! Pow.
Rocking some dope stuff on the side. But first of all, I want to dig into how have things been over the past couple of months? Because I think we have seen, you know, we've covered this on our show ad nauseum over the past 10 years of like the growth and the continual growth of the nefarious side of the gaming community. And it's reared its ugly head again with Gamergate 2 around all the stuff that we talked about with Sweet Baby, the idea around consultancy, the ideas around diversity, inclusion, and equity work. All of the things have become the big dragon's dogma monster that is around the corner that we can't get away from. But I want to know about how you're doing. I think we remove that part from the equation often because we're all public figures. We're all doing this work. But in the grand scheme, we're all human beings trying to figure it out and work through the world and doing the work that we want to be able to do. So how are you doing? How are you holding up?
Thank you for asking. You know, I think I've been on the internet for a long time as a woman and someone who is very femme presenting. If you can just hear my voice and like Call of Duty or Halo lobbies. So I do believe that I have trained for this moment my entire life. you kind of, if you're a woman or a person of color or a queer person and you're loud and proud and unapologetic, I think you have at some point in your life received even a modicum of what I'm receiving. And, you know, my parents, bless their hearts, they did not look at me with rose-colored glasses. They raised me to be pretty thick-skinned and pretty hard-headed. And so, yeah, I mean, it can be, at the first couple of days when this really kicked off, it was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Damn, y'all got my address? but like that was kind of weird. But now that it's not, I wouldn't say settled, but now that I've kind of settled into it, I think I, yeah, you know, it's the internet at the end of the day. Like I had a whole weekend where I went and did stuff and, you know, none of this existed there. And so you just kind of have to remember that sometimes. Doesn't mean it doesn't piss me off.
Yeah.
But it does go, you know, away. So the weather was beautiful this weekend, guys.
I know. Like it was funny because I was like, I have the weird thing of, you know, I do a lot of work in the social media space, and it's one of those things of like my phone is always with me and I'm always trying to not pay attention to it, especially when, you know, like we all know in the grand scheme of like when you throw in a flame, a Molotov cocktail into a space. Right. We all know we're not stupid. Like we understand how the internet works, but we also know that like at a certain point, whatever you say is going to inflame people in ways that are super wild. And just like out of nowhere that this stuff has happened. But it does feel like, you know, we've lived through both of us in different ways, right? Of like what Gamergate 1 was, how it manifested, and how it continued to, you know, if you think about the timeline of the space, how it's continued to be the like river of slime Ghostbusters 2 that has kind of gone under gaming for a long period of time. But I want to hear your thoughts about like, has this version felt different? Has it felt especially special in the way? Well, a lot of folks are special, but has it felt very special or different in a way in comparison to the first version of it in the way we're kind of seeing it now?
I think it's, I said this on an interview, I think with CBC, I think it's like a perfect storm that makes it seem a little different. Like, I think the story beats are the same. Like what they're trying to do is the same. They're harassing women and women of color the most, or queer people. They're dogpiling, which is exactly what used to happen. They're creating sock puppet accounts, which is what happened last time, all of this kind of stuff. What's weirder about it now is obviously the main space that you and I and so many other people who have been in this industry for so long use, Twitter, which was once considered a great space for not only journalism, but activism, which absolutely huge during 2020 for organizing protests and stuff like that, has now become, you know, the divorced man's app. Where, you know, like reporting shit just goes completely ignored. And you have the guy who literally owns the app being like, oh, yes, I believe in this conspiracy. Like, let me like leave my little weird like spaceship bed that I sleep in because I'm actually 10 years old mentally and make sure that I say, yes, this is wrong. I hate this. Or wow, when somebody sends me something that's not true. And it's like, what sucks about that is like, where we used to go to like congregate and talk about this has been like, you know, overtaken by chuds and sock puppet accounts that are kind of running rampant. So that part's a little annoying because this did used to be our like amplifier space. And now it's, you know, the slime is all over it.
Yeah. And it feels like, and I'm happy you talked about it in that way, because it is in that way, it has absolutely changed. Like the space in which semi-reasonable conversations that would get flagged if they did kind of, you know, move into an improper space or a toxic space, there was a feeling like someone was in charge to be able to kind of smack the hand of the people doing the nefarious stuff. But like, there's a level now where people are lamenting the fact that Elon has this platform to let people run wild and do some stuff. And we'll talk about, and I'll showcase some of the extra stupid that has come up in the past couple of weeks. But that feeling of, all right, so like we have carte blanche to be assholes, has really kind of garnered itself. Has the conversation hasn't changed though?
No.
I feel like that has been really profound when you look at all of it under the microscope.
No, I mean, they're calling me Anita Sarkeesian. They're insinuating that I like suck dick to get my job. And like, so first of all, let's be so very clear. Kotaku has been, since I have been there, run by women.
Right.
So I'm not sucking dick to get my job. If anything, I'd be doing something else, which I do also do, to be clear, but not to get my job. So it's the same thing. Cheers to that.
Cheers to eating coochie. Anyway.
It's just frustrating because it's the same stuff. It's like, well, especially when people found out I used to be a sex worker, it's like, I tell everybody that you have two drinks with me at dinner. And I'm like, when I was a cab girl, like it's not a secret. So I think it like, it's, I don't know. It's just, you can't slut shame me. I am right. very happily a slutty person. And so I think it's just also really odd to be like, slut shaming women in one breath and then also being like, jiggle titty physics are the only good games. And it's like, well, which one is it? Oh, it's because you don't want women to have ownership over their sexuality. Got it.
Right. But that's the wildest thing too, is like, in the same breath. And I think this has been a thing that is, I've been not struggling with, because I understand the stupid, right? Is the arguments haven't changed. The end result of what people want still hasn't changed from a conversational standpoint from a lot of the folks who we see ride or die for this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And the other layer of it is like, you would think that a group of folks who have felt like they have been oppressed for all of these multiple years that they have talked about there being no good games and all the games that we used to play were great in comparison to what we have now are terrible. You would think that after all of those years of seething and being upset and not having anyone have a voice that connects with you, that you would be able to get your language and messaging in a better position. And it still sounds like people who have not gotten past a third grade reading level trying to make a really interesting and reasonable point. How has it been to kind of work through the dumb? Because like, it's not even reasonable stuff to even like poke at, to be like, well, let me try to do the work of finding where the potential, not even middle ground, but like, where's the nugget that we're going to pull from this to really like do some good work. Like, what has it been like to kind of see that not be different in that way?
You know, it's so frustrating because I think like the article that I wrote was intended to be like, here is literally what's happening. Right. And, you know, that's all you can do from a journalistic standpoint. Like me in this capacity, I am talking to you as senior editor of Kotaku, but I am not writing on Kotaku. So like, obviously I'm talking about eating clam and people being fucking idiots. But like in that case of that piece, that was like an incredibly professionally done piece. Like everything that you're supposed to do, you did, you know? And all the boxes were checked, and we had three different people read through it, and we made sure all the bases were covered because we knew if there was a perceived hole, they would pry it open and flood it. Yeah. Right. Yeah, and even then, I think it's just, you cannot have good faith conversations with people whose basis for why they're angry is already rooted in a bad faith situation.
Right.
And I think you can see this sort of like reflective surface that they look at when they make these arguments with you, because all of the things that they say we're doing are what they do. So, you know, obfuscating the truth, you know, like they're like, you harassed somebody. I'm like, okay. Hold on. Reporting on a publicly listed Steam page and the Discord channel and the people who are in it and blurring out their names and not sharing anybody's personal info is not harassing or doxing anybody. I don't know if you know that. Finding my home address on dox websites, that's doxing people.
Right.
So it's like, I just think they're looking at the way that they behave in the mirror and they're saying, this is what must the other side is doing this. The other side is hateful. The other side is this. And it's like, bestie, look at your heart. And what does your heart say? You know, and that's what's frustrating. It's because it does kind of feel like, it feels like, I used to be a substitute teacher for really young kids. And it feels like, when they just go, yeah, what if, I know you are, so what am I? And you're just like, oh God, never mind. You're seven. So just go off and run on the playground. But like, you're not seven, you're 56. And it's like, where's the growth?
all the above, right? So all of those things. And it was funny because I try to find, when I do any of the work that I do, Spawn on Me and other stuff related, I'm still trying to be empathetic to the idea of rational thought. And like you said, when folks come to these conversations with irrational thought from the beginning, and also like, I've never seen so many people have the ability to draw the red string on the board.
Literally do it.
And literally do it. And every red string is fucked up and wrong. Like it's never... It's never landing on a salient point that's like, well, okay, well, let's look at this from this other angle and be like, oh, I can kind of see where that is. I had a dream the other night, and I thought about, what does this feel like? And there was a clip from a movie, and I'm going to play it super fast. It's like only like 2 or 3 seconds, but I want to play it for you. And this is exactly how I feel like if you air quote the passion of the Gamer Gator, this is what it feels like to me.
I'm not a smart man, but I know what love is.
It feels like that. That's what it feels like. That's exactly what it feels like in the grand scheme of where we are.
It is so frustrating. It's like, I'm trying to play chess and these guys are playing fucking Connect Four and they're flipping over the table when they get mad. And it's like, I can't. It's like only so much I could do before I go crazy. Like it's, and that's why, like, you know, you write the piece, you put the piece out there and you hope that the work speaks for itself. And for a lot of people who have media literacy and reading comprehension skills, mm-hmm. And know the history surrounding this and the culture surrounding this, it did speak for itself, you know. And for people who, you know, believe that chemtrails are teaching us to get vaccinated, and you know, like, then I can't help you, you know. Like, I, whatever I wrote, it wouldn't have done a damn thing for you. So, you know. God be with you, sir.
Godspeed to all the gumps out there doing what they need to do. But it winds up being this thing where I'm always looking at the conversation too. Like when I get hit with stuff, I look at it and I'm like, I've been the asshole who's been going back and forth because I have this weird bug in my mind that's like, I need to say the honest thing outside, out loud, which is bad for me. I don't need to do that anymore. But it does feel like every potential thing that has been said throughout this whole conversation, the leaps of logic have been the funniest. Like, I have it in my little lower third, that ESG BlackRock money. Like, all of this stuff is in here. It's like one small jump away from gay frogs. It's always, it's like the Alex Jones gay frogs thing.
Oh, yeah, because that's what these people do, right? So the few leaders that they have, you know, however they've elected to put them in the lead. I mean, the grifters who grift the hardest, right? Yeah. Who actually sometimes put their faces online or sometimes put drawings of their faces online, but are at least not anonymous or, you know, behind an anime profile picture, right? Those few people just throw everything at a wall until it sticks. And that's when you do almost get to gay frogs. It's like, well, it must be that there's a checklist or they won't get funding, or it must be that BlackRock is. I mean, like, it's the people saying George Soros was funding the George Floyd protests. Right. It's just like, you believe that the entire world is a conspiracy, and I can't convince you otherwise. And unfortunately, the people who are the most susceptible to this, right, are the kinds of people that the grifters prey on. And those people are malleable and, you know, they gullible and they probably spend a little bit too much time on online forums. And this is what happens. And you could sit here and say what you and I are saying about how, I mean, like, where's my BlackRock money? Because, like, my rent went up and I would like it. But, like, you know, we could sit here and say this doesn't exist, and we could write pieces that show that this is not what happens. And you can have people who are some people who are leaders in the industry, because you guys are still a little bit quiet, say things. And it doesn't matter. It's this belief that, like, everything that everyone says to us is a lie. And again, it's like, look in the mirror, because that's what's happening.
And the thing that I kind of also lean into that I find baffling, right, is the elected leaders of the space, right? Because it is a thing that, there's the elected leader layer of it that's always been peculiar. Mm-hmm. Excuse me, that beard just gave me the burps. But the other people who, like, rally around it is also another flavor of it. And then there are the grifters, right? The folks who are like, ooh, there's an opportunity here to continue to grow my space, to continue to get some of that YouTube money, because we know YouTube money, like Duncan, runs on terrible shit. Like, we know that all of those things kind of work together. And I do want to dig into that a small bit, because there's been one person who you would think would understand a little bit more, not only about the gaming industry as a person who worked in it for a fairly long time, but a person who also understands, well, not really, but kind of understands how to galvanize an online community. So this thing came up earlier today. talking about the way things have been moving. This madness
save the date.
The save the date from Grums, Mark Kern, former studio head of I forget what, has gone on this weird continuous tirade of showcasing you and being like, I want to date you and all this other weird shit. What is the what is happening here? What is the thing that is going on with this madness?
I mean,
crack is
the whack. The man could be my father.
Right.
So let's that's fucking weird. Like, yep. Also, why are you online so much? Don't you have to go get the early bird special at IHOP or some shit? Like, what are you doing? I think this, he is one of their biggest supporters of whatever this is. And I don't like to see people talking shit. And so sometimes I get spicy back with him. And sure. I think he's turned it. I mean, it was a couple weeks ago where he was like, I would never date you. And then the sex worker thing started getting crazy. And then he was, tweeting stuff about that and retweeting edited things of me and tweeting his own face and then acting like because I tweeted his face, I was like showing everyone his face that no one had seen before. And it's like, you just tweeted your face. I just took that pic. Okay. Right. Anyway. And yeah, I don't know this, it's very schoolyard. It's very like, well, you must want to date me. And I'm like, well, like, and this is what I said to him a couple weeks ago. I was like, you would be charged a premium. Like it would not be for free. And it would be a lot of money.
It would be like, I'll smash you, but I got to wear this first.
Yeah.
I'll give you the business, but I got to get my Master Chief helmet on first.
Let me put that on. Listen, again, I've been training my whole life for this. There were boys who were mean to me in middle school and high school that once I was in college were sending me weird little DMs talking about shit they wanted to do to me. And I was like, there it is.
Right.
There it is. And at the end of the day, this is a man whose entire personality is centered around can I wank to this video game character? And I'm angry if I can't. So I think it's a coincidence that he has laser focused so much on a mouthy woman in the space? No, I think I represent everything that he doesn't like. I talk a lot. Mm. I can bench press more than him. And I would charge him a lot of money to fuck me. And I think he doesn't like those things. And so he really doesn't like me. And that's okay because the feeling is mutual. I really, really don't like him. And at the end of the day, this man has not been relevant in the industry for a decade. And he is clinging on to whatever relevancy he can find by, championing a cause that doesn't exist.
Yep.
From behind a cartoon drawing of himself because he knows that shit's busted. So, okay. Grandpa.
As a person close to getting my AARP card, I understand the feeling like you're losing the juice. But it's that thing of the reason I brought that up, not only to showcase the weirdness of it, but it's like, is this your king? Right?
Literally, that's what I said.
Right. Is this your king? And I want to showcase some more stuff because I think we have talked a lot about what is this space supposed to be doing? I'm a person who's all about action. I'm like, fine. You have had since, what was it? It was 10 years ago since Gamergate 1 at this point for the most part. You've had 10 years to do all the things that you said you wanted to do to fix the space, to remove wokeness out of games, remove progressive thought out of games. You haven't made a game. You haven't made a studio. You haven't made an outlet that's really been of note that people give a shit about. And all of these things that you could have done in the meantime to bolster your idea around what conservative non-woke gaming has been, y'all have been sitting there not learning how to code like you tell everybody else when they lose their job. So I'm just saying. So here's the stuff, right? Here's the stuff. So boom, all these things that are in here, this is all culture warrior shit, right? Gamergate 2 just got real. Too real. The BBC and I call it for the final purge. If you oppose Sweet Baby Inc., the mask is off. This is cultural revolution. It is do or die. Like, okay, right? All right, fine. So then the whole BGG, Black Girl Gamers thing came up. And he had his my favorite part, which was name a white male space in gaming. And this is what popped up. Everybody was like, hey, stupid. Like, this is your king. This is the person who's driving this revolution in the video game space to be able to say that they have a point that we should be paying attention to in any form or fashion. It does, Alyssa, it doesn't make sense.
This is such like a like anybody who has any semblance of common sense knows that like just before a man like this was born, there was still separate but equal spaces
right.
for Black folks and white folks.
Right.
And like there are people who are still alive who lived in that.
Yes.
And granted, they're super old, but like they lived through that. And this kind of idea that like you can just sort of act like, well, everyone should have everything. We shouldn't just give Black people like better support, and like affirmative action is like bullshit. And it's like you're not actually doing the work in your head here, because if there are, not only did separate but equal exist in people's like memory, in the cultural memory of people who are still alive, but then you have rampant policing that is focused entirely on people of color. You have rampant incarceration that is focused entirely on people of color. You have rampant killings by police of people of color, all happening in recent memory. Mm-hmm. And this idea that like Black folks or people of color or queer folks who are still regularly being persecuted should not have any sort of support in trying to gain a foothold in a space that is openly hostile to them in every corner, and you're proving how hostile you are to them in the way that you act online, is asinine to me. You are just scared that your whiteness does not implicitly put you at the top, that you are not automatically Mr. Big Cock in the room because you're white, or you're white passing, or you're straight. You're pissed off. And I get it. Like, if I was mediocre and I wasn't getting shit for free, I'd be pissed off too. But at the end of the day, we can't act like these things aren't put in place to try and rectify decades upon centuries of fucked up shit that has been done that has put people of color and queer people in a position where they are not starting on level ground at all, and they haven't. And you can't erase that just by going, I don't see color, or I don't think that these spaces should exist, because imagine if there was white guy gamers. White guy gamers is the games industry. Like, it's still the games industry. I mean, look at what we were talking about last year, right? When like IGN, and I like them, but like when they did an entire panel for Summer Games Fest and it was three white dudes.
Yeah.
Like, it's still the default. The main character being white is still the majority default. Like, it's, I don't think the things that you're saying are happening are happening. You're just picking little instances and acting like this is the norm now, when it's not even remotely close to the norm.
It's frustrating, especially because it's all of the things that you said, and it comes off when people try to rebut the actual world that we live in with weird side facts that all don't have anything to do with any of the realities that are there within. It is this weird, either like purposeful obstruction of like, I can't see things, it's the hear no see evil, mm-hmm. no shit, with also like a pure level, like one of the things that I would have hoped in the gaming industry is that for at least a scintilla of any of the work that we've all done, in the 10 plus years I've been doing it, the multiple years you've been doing it, we, you know, so many dope folks that I know who have been killing over the years, Ash Paris, so many of my favorite folks in the space have been doing all of this good work that you would think would at least waterfall down to the player in some ways, right? You see the real world and what's happening, and then you see the game space, and even if it's changing in a way you don't like, you can at least absorb it and be able to see what's happening and to be able to make a decent decision there. The thing that's bugged out is like, these, like, if you would ask these folks, they would probably roll up at you and be like, hey, does racism exist? And they'd be like, no. Like, that's the wild shit.
Like, yeah, and that's why it's like even more frustrating, because these conversations are coming from complete places of delusion. What was that movie where Robert Pattinson did that really terrible Southern accent where he screams delusion? Yeah, that's just what I think of. Like, it's you are operating from a framework that is so deluded that I can't even start. Like, I don't know where to begin. And so I think what's frustrating about this is, yeah, you can't really be having these actual like granular conversations with a lot of these people, because these are the same people who think like, one time a black person was mean to me once and that was racism. And it's like, bestie, that's not what that is. And that's also why, you know, it's been so crazy, because I dared to say that you can't be racist against white people. Right. And then it got community noted by a bunch of people who like can't read or refuse to read or failed social studies. And it's like, you actually can't, because it's about positions of power. And at the end of the day, just because someone of color might have been mean to you once, that doesn't mean that they have a significant position of power above you to maybe not give you a job or shut you out of an industry entirely. Like, it's just, that does not exist, and it has not ever existed. So I think it's just so crazy, because it's like, I think anybody who has read a book or has lived a non-male, like white, cis, hetero experience can understand these things. And then the people who don't are just like, well, no, that can't be true, because one time a woman said I was ugly. And so that's misandry. It's like, no, bestie, you're just ugly. Period.
Again, I'm not a smart man, but I know what love is. But it's that thing, right? Where it's also like this put upon, it's this cape. Let's go back to Dragon's Dogma. It is this cape of oppression that people keep putting on themselves that they haven't gotten a chance to earn, and they haven't gotten a chance to actually understand what oppression is.
You want to be oppressed so badly. You know what that's like?
It's the want to be oppressed, which is the wildest shit. And it winds up being that conversation. I want to pivot a little bit, because there's a little bit of that conversation that I think we should talk about, because a lot of this has been placed upon the feet of black and brown people, POCs, from the beginning. It was like that in Gamergate 1. We saw a lot of conversations with the whole Not Your Shield attack that was there for a long period of time. And now we're seeing this whole other layer of it, right? So Grums also put out this tweet, which was really interesting to show, which was, oh yeah, the gaming industry, all they want to do is put all these ugly characters into video games. And his example was this, which I found to be really interesting, because the makeup of these characters that he picked, or at least pulled from somebody else who was also probably racist, what's the through line here? A lot of brown, a lot of black women, a lot of folks in the space who are of ethnic backgrounds, POCs. That seems to be a really interesting layer here as well, that we are like, oh, okay. So, all right. So that's a thing that's in the mix. Yeah. We see that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and that's something that I brought up and said, like, they don't have to tell you that they're a racist. They are showing you. And some of the chuds in the comments were like, so you're saying that the black women are ugly because you're agreeing that they're ugly. And I'm like, no. Let's be very clear here. You cherry picked screenshots. First of all, I play Apex Legends all the fucking time. Lifeline don't look like that.
Right.
Second of all, there's a 9-year-old girl in there. So like, hello, I'm not even going to touch that with a 10-foot pole. Why the fuck do you have a 9-year-old girl in that collage saying that she's not attractive? 911. But like, it's just like, and they're all in like distorted, like facial, like it's very obvious that it was either like someone fucked with it, or they literally screen grabbed like the glitchiest, weirdest moment and posted in this MS Paint ass looking. How did you even make this? Like, it's so rudimentary. It's giving like cutting out ransom letters and being like, give me hot women, you know. It's just, and it's almost entirely women of color. And it's like, do you not see the colorism that is on display here? Do you not see how you went to your list of ugly people and just by accident it was women of color? Like, let's not, like, why are we playing dumb here? And again, everyone's like, I don't know what you mean, he's just saying too many people are ugly. And it's like, no, he's not. He's picking specifically women of color and putting them on this collage and then tweeting it and going, I don't know what you mean. Uh-huh. I don't, it's like, we can't play dumb forever, you know? And I think when they show and not tell, then it's pretty apparent what's going on.
And it falls apart really quickly, right? Like, that's the thing that is the, again, like, I don't think a lot of the folks who are making these arguments are smart at all. Like, it is a showing of the stupidity of most of the folks who are riding with this in a much bigger way. It winds up being this thing, too, where, you know, the idea, and I'm happy you said it, of playing dumb. The problem is they're not playing. like that's the problem, is they're not playing. This is who they are. They are showcasing the stupidity. Mm-hmm. Like, we saw the stuff that wound up going on with Black Girl Gamers over the past couple of weeks. There's been a lot of stuff in that conversation where, again, if you haven't caught up with it, BGG has been an outlet for a long period of time that has cultivated and surrounded themselves and said, hey, if you're a Black woman in video games, because we know that you are not taken care of in so many different ways. We know that there's a disproportionate level of harassment that happens to Black women in the video game space for just showing your fucking face on a camera, plus all the layers of Blackness that go along with that and all the layers of discrimination that goes along with that. Come here. We will do the work of trying to give you not only a place to grow and collaborate with other folks, but we're also going to give you a space where you can just feel safe to be able to talk to whoever you want to talk to who's in that space. And now we've seen those folks on the other side. Now that you now have this space, this nefarious space that is the darkest corner of Blackness and Black women, being able to talk to each other and be able to commiserate and hang out, it is the most racist place on the planet. So much so that some former members of the group decided to come out with this entire whole conversation about how they were kicked out from the Black Girl Gamers group. And then the Black Girl Gamers group came out and said, hey, here's the receipts of all the things that happened.
And CVS pharmacy receipts.
And was just like, yep.
A million of them.
You self-selected to leave. Now, here's the thing. I am a person who believes in receipts. I believe that you need to keep them sometimes because people wild out and say some wild shit. But I came across, because I do my research here at Spawn on Me, and sometimes you go back and you look at some tweets that people have shared. And not only that, if you're talking about the ability to be in a space with like-minded people who understand where they kind of want to be, and again, Blackness is a spectrum. I talked about this on my Twitter feed the other day. But I came across this tweet, and it really did kind of sum up the reason why someone might not want you in this space if you are in a place that's looking to have progressive thought. And it was this one. Hey, so what happens when you're like, video games are a space that we want to see grow in all these different ways, but you also say, because of my alternative version of Blackness, this is the thing that makes me not want to be a part of this and the reason why they kicked me out. But you said, because I want DEI to die. So, if we're going to keep the receipts, if we're going to talk about how being a supportive Black person, being the right kind of Black, is the thing that got you kicked out of this space, let's keep it 100. No one cares about what version of Black you are. The version of Black that you are is just shitty. That's the version.
You're just a shitty person.
You're just a whack-ass person. It's okay.
Yeah, and I mean, like, okay, come through, Hot Topic outfit. Like, yeah, I'm really excited to listen to what you might have to say about anything. Moment that the receipts were there, they were, and the grift is apparent, okay? They've got something coming out, I don't know, that they're trying to promote, and it's like, it's the same five people who bring these kinds of people on a podcast. It's the same five people who put them on a podium. It's the same five people who come to their, you know, to their aid and their support. So it's like, what? A guy who has a baseball cap permanently glued to his head, a man who never shows his face but has a cartoon Avi, a girl who hasn't brushed her hair since Jesus came back and who loves him more than anything in the world, who does nothing but say slurs online and eat fucking butter.
Happy Easter.
And these are your soldiers? Yeah. Yeah. Like, these are your soldiers? Like, these are who you're... Like, check your sodium levels, baby. Like, didn't you go to the hospital because you didn't drink water? Like, I can't believe that we're like, this is who we should be listening to, and this is who is right about gaming, and this is who... Like, do you guys even, like, wipe your ass? Like, or are you wiping the wrong way? Because like I don't trust, that you could like operate a motor vehicle, let alone like, I don't know, have anything of any value to say about anything.
Well,
So it's like.
Damn, that was good. I want somebody to clip that. But here's a layer of that I wanted to poke at, right? Is, again, this is the high court of dumb shit, right? This is the Knights of the Whack Table doing their thing around this conversation. When most of those folks don't have the pedigree or the cultural competency to talk about the things they're talking about. I, again, doing my research, went through some of Gothic's videos over the past couple of weeks, and I think 3 weeks ago was her last video was a video that she shared about talking black, about what does it mean to talk black. And in that video, I found out that only 3 weeks ago she started to understand what AAVE was. And I said, if you don't understand what AAV is, and you are professing to be the wrong kind of black and got pushed out of all of these black circles because supposedly people called you to pick me and I, you know, Candace, game is Candace Owens, all of these things, they all fit. It's not my fault. It's not anyone's fault for calling out the thing that you have done with your brand and you have done with the work that you've decided to do once you said, this community doesn't want me. And okay, there's a group of folks over here who will embrace me. And who have those folks been? Tim Pool, The Quartering, you know, Stuttering Craig, all of those folks have been the folks who have been the ones to embrace you and say, well, come along with us. You can be a part of our conversations because we're all anti-woke too. But then when you have the conversations with those folks, you hear it. They're still all the same stupid points that never made sense to begin with.
Yeah. So 100%. It's really weird. And the pivot is so obvious in these cases, right? So like, this is why I wanted to work on this story, which has now turned into something bigger, which I can't say yet, but it is something bigger. You know, there are people who I spoke to that knew some of these people before they were the personalities that they are today. And I heard multiple instances of people saying this person used to be incredibly shy and quite sweet. And we used to hang out at some cons together and I'm gay. So, you know, they were really cool with me then. And you know, I don't really understand what happened. But this is, the grift is something that in today's modern internet with YouTube monetization, with the way Twitter is right now, the grift, I don't know how well it pays, but it pays to be right wing. You can amass a following of people by spewing certain things. I mean, Boogie's doing it now too.
Oh yeah.
It's like, this is just what happens. You look at your numbers and you go, I might be able to like double or triple this if I say a slur. Or, you know, like if I really lean into this super hard, then, you know, I'll be able to make more money off of this instead of just being like thoroughly mediocre. And a lot of them act like, you know, they were pushed out of a space because they always thought this way and acted this way. But in a lot of cases, they didn't. And as you can see with someone like with Gothics, like the receipts are there. Like you left of your own accord. You were asked to prove things you didn't. You blocked everyone. And then a couple years later, right around when the conversation about race was really heating up, you came back to social media and started saying, well, I wasn't good enough for this group of black women. And that's racist. And it's like, I mean, the math itself, like you showed up when you knew, you know what I mean? Like, that's just, it's so obvious and apparent. And I wish what upsets me and what frustrates me the most, and I'm sure you feel the same way, is like, it's transparent. And I think the fact that no one sees that so many people still sort of blindly follow them is a real testament to like how important media literacy is in modern society and how important like, you know, socialization in circles outside of your own is at a young age. And when that doesn't happen, then yeah, you're going to believe that scrunch haired, waterline eyeliner, Jesus loving F slur saying woman is your queen, you know, and that she's the be all end all of everybody. And it's like, okay, well, I mean, there's a lot of world beyond that that you're missing out on. And that sucks for you. But if you could just keep your hatred away from other people, then you could go on sucking in your quiet little annoying tube of nothing. And then no one will care. The problem is when you try and bleed it out into the rest of the world and start acting like everyone, you're the oppressed people and everyone else is crazy. And you just woke up and woke is the new slur that they think they can get away with, which is exhausting.
Yeah. And I think the other part that is really weird is the like, and this is the reason why, again, my grandma, she told me this thing way back in the day. And she was like, baby, I know that there are people who are going to hate you. And I know there are people who are going to talk shit about you if you do something that's great. And what I need you to do is always keep an eye on what people are saying. Don't turtle. Don't put your head in the sand. Like, it is okay to engage with shit that is not in your usual circle of reasonable, because you have to understand what people are saying on the other side so you can combat it. You can have good facts to debunk that kind of stuff, and to be able to say, like, look, I have been standing on business. I have been standing in a space of truth for a long period of time. Our truths don't have to match, but like, at some point, we have to be able to have a discussion, or at least be able to lay those things out on the line for people to be able to kind of look at and see. I find it really interesting, especially in her case, that for someone who has been, you know, very libertarian in terms of thought and in the ways that it's like the free place of, I'm sorry, the market of free conversation is a big thing of theirs, of that ilk of folks, you know, put everything in the market of free thought and those kinds of things. But also to say, while running a full ass documentary that is about victimization, to call other people victims and say for you to not use your blackness as a shield feels really weird. You have a whole ass documentary that says, I am a victim of anti-blackness, but as soon as you have said a thing, you expect people to be like, oh, well, that makes a lot of sense. That makes no sense. So
it makes no sense. You are stepping on a rake repeatedly and going, this rake is so woke. This is DEI. This is a DEI rake. It was put here by BlackRock. And I just keep stepping on it because it gets put in my way. And it's like,
oh, man,
no, you're just stepping on a rake.
It's a
you're
very
stepping
much,
on a rake.
It's a stepping on a rake. But it's also like in the same angle of what we hear in, you know, conservative to progressive spaces. The thing is, well, why don't you make your own shit? Why are you all in the space? Why are you again? We've not seen. We've had this conversation over a decade. Right. Of like, where are the conservative games? Right. Where are the games coming out of conservatives? And if the place, if the marketplace is driving sales, promotions, PR, all of that stuff, you would think that the free market would avail you some space to make some of these games and put it out in the market so you can sell it. Have you seen any?
Yeah.
The only one that we've seen even close to that, and I wouldn't even call it a right-wing game or a conservative game, was 6 Days in Fallujah, right? And for me, that wasn't even a right-wing game, but that was a game that felt like, for people who were from those places and those were the targets on their literal backs, they had a thing to say about that and leveled that conversation up. But the thing about that conversation was smart. Even if you look about it from the cats who were building that game, even if the messaging was weird or even if they felt like it wasn't necessarily on point, they were at least expanding upon an idea and being like, well, here's the game that we're trying to make for an audience that may want it. We have not seen any of that in conservative spaces, right?
But Go ahead.
I was just going to say, the other layer of that is, with all of this fussing that we see, because it's nothing but fussing, they don't understand that all of the intricate pieces that have gone along with the way the games works, and you can attest to this by having done so much work and interviewed so many developers, is all of the things that we're seeing happen now have been asked for from development teams.
Yeah.
These aren't consultancy teams being like, hire us because we need the money. That's been like people saying like, hey, we want our games to be the best games that we can for a wide audience.
Yeah.
Can you help us get to that part of the conversation? I'd love to hear your thoughts about that layer, because I think the piece of all of these folks not understanding how game dev works drives a lot of this conversation. So I'd love to hear your thoughts about like what you've seen and all that.
I think one of the most interesting things is, I wish I could remember who it was, but I saw a tweet where somebody said, you know, if you see a perceived decrease in the quality of games, right? Mm. We can all kind of look at how the games industry grew exponentially in 2020 because so many more people were home, so many more people were playing and buying games, right? And then they've clearly obviously grown too much, right? Mm. This is why you've seen a record amount of layoffs this year, over 8,000 people, right? And that's also why you're seeing a push for either remasters, remakes, or reboots of existing IP, because it's not a chance that they're taking. It's established. We know it'll make money. Let's just make The Last of Us Part 2 remastered, even though it came out fucking 4 years ago, right? It's stuff like that. That's part of it. The other part of it is the other kinds of games that they're making is that massive shift to live service, the pivot to having a steady trickle of income from your players with predatory, like, pricing practices or loot boxes or season passes that are shit or games that might have been built too quickly. The problems caused by those things or the people that have caused those problems are not the marginalized people working on games, are not the people writing the story, are not the people animating the characters, are not the people designing, you know, battle situations. It's the executives. Right. It is the people who have always had money, who continue to have money, who, when you and I suffer, still have money. Mm-hmm. You know, like, still escape with their golden parachute when their company is gobbled up by a bigger company, even if there's sketchy shit going on around them.
Yep.
And the anger and the ire that you should have and the frustration that you should have should be on the people who look at you as nothing more than an ATM. And who just want more and more and more and more of your money without giving you any anything of quality or value for it. And that's why you've seen a perceived decrease in the quality of games. That's why you've seen games launch in broken states. That's why you've seen pivots like Overwatch 2 going free to play with monetization battle pass bullshit. That's why you've seen that. Those frustrations that you have might be valid. Sure, everyone's frustrated with it. I'm frustrated with it. You're frustrated with it. I fucking love Overwatch.
Right.
I can't stand how it is right now. But like, your anger and your ire is fundamentally misguided. And you are pointing your anger and your ire at the lowest common denominator in your mind, the people who are the most accessible because they're on Twitter and they're not, you know, I mean, how often does an executive from a company actually tweet?
Never.
And if they do tweet, it's not just, it's something beyond, look at this ad from a game, you know, like, it's not, they're not having conversations with you. They're not accessible. So you start finding the people lower down on the ladder and you start nipping at their ankles, hoping that that will enact change. That is not what's going on here. Mm-hmm. And your perceived, I don't like this game story and I don't like this and that, and this felt rushed and Suicide Squad was a fucking mess and da 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 da. That's not because of Sweet Baby. It's not because of a woman of color who wrote something. It's not because of any of that. So I think that we are at the reason why this is happening, and it's happening the way that it is like I said earlier, a perfect storm of shit. You have an online group of people that are moving in ways that they should not be able to move, you know, unfettered by any sort of adult in the room, because the adult in the room sleeps in a fucking race car bed, you know, like, and on top of that, the games industry is seeing unprecedented loss. So like, you're pissed off. We get it. But like, you're not pissed off because you can't fap to a video game character anymore. You're pissed off because quality is going down and you don't know where to turn. Mm. So you turn towards the people that you feel like you can attack. So I think you don't even know how many people go into making a game,
right?
Because the one person who made a game who is leading the charge ran a company into the ground and hasn't made anything since. So it's like, what are we doing here, guys?
I love the fact you went into the like sleeps in the race car bed, because it's like the shittiest version of Silver Spoons. It's like what episode of shitty Silver Spoons is this that we got this? But it goes back to that conversation of like, I don't like, one of the things that I drive at any company that I've been with in game dev has been, especially if I'm working in community, has been, I wish that there was a way to re-educate the player, to be able to show people how games are made. Like, yes, you get that often in vid docs. You see the behind the scenes stuff once in a while and all those things. But the idea that all of these games are bad, and again, most of these games aren't terrible.
Aren't even bad, yeah.
They're not even bad. Like, they've complained about some of the best-selling games that have come out in the past couple of years as also being a thing because this perceived notion of whiteness not being centered, which is a really interesting thing. But I do wonder if there will be a space in which we do see someone from a group that is supposedly aggrieved and so oppressed come out with a game, and what does it do in the actual market? Because the conversation now has that we've seen has been the bastion of conservative gaming, the bastion of keeping the wokes mad is Stellar Blade right now. Stellar Blade is the game of the year because there's a shiny titty and a almost a smedium ass. It's not even a great ass. It's a smedium ass. It's not even that big.
It is a smedium ass.
And I'm like, what are we doing here to get all that stuff kind of like bundled together? It's just very, very weird that that's the case. Where did this also come from? Is this just, again, race car dudes just not knowing what the fuck's going on?
Yeah, yeah. Because like also, and multiple women and queer people and non-binary people who you'd think would be like, we don't want women to be hot in games. We do. I want women to be hot in games, but I want women to have layers. Like, right. I want women to be... some women to be really hot, some women to be really normal, and some women to look like, you know, the fucking, my girl at the bodega who hooks me up with my fucking bacon, egg, and cheese. Right. And I want another one to look like Karlach, where she could crush me in between her thighs and I would say, thank you, mommy. Like, I want there to be hot and normal, all kinds of people in games to represent the cross-section of society, which is that there are hot people, like the people talking right now, and then there are ugly people, like the people talking about us right now.
Yeah.
And that's okay. Because we're allowed to exist in the same space and we're allowed to be in the same world. And I want to see different, like think about someone like, okay, I think Junker Queen in Overwatch is so fucking hot.
Yeah,
and
she's
gigantic and ripped. Yeah. I think Karlach is hot. She's gigantic and ripped. I also think Shadowheart, who's tiny little elf girl with impossibly nice bazongas, is hot. And like, I think that that's okay. But it's the fact that you're pulling all these other characters who have been great or fascinating or otherwise cool characters that may not look like, I don't know, a centerfold or Sydney Sweeney, and acting like it's an issue that they exist. Like, there are still hot people in games. Baldur's Gate 3 came out last fucking year. You could fuck a bear in that game. Mm-hmm. Like, why are you, you're not being deprived. Like, it it exists everywhere. Like it's still happening all over the space. So I just think it's, you're finding an issue that doesn't exist, and you're expanding it into this big culture war when literally the game of the year was the horniest game that's come out in a fucking while. And it's like, this is still happening. It really still is. I promise you there are still video game characters that you will want to fuck. And I also promise you that there will be video game characters who look normal. And at the end of the day, if you didn't want to fuck a video game character, what does that mean? Like, okay, that's, you're not being oppressed. Like,
I
what?
That has been the, that, and you nailed, I want that to be the next Kotaku article, is like, why do you want to fuck digital women? Like, what is the crux of this thing where people have this want to have like this bonable version of this avatar that you need? Like, I get it. There are people who are very, very lonely out here. I don't get mad at folks who are lonely. I know it's been a lot of folks who can't find the love that they want. The sexual repression is in the space. A lot of stuff. Toxic masculinity about how you talk about sex and all the other pieces of things are in there across all of those spectra of thing. So I want to give those people some grace because I don't feel like these are the folks who are actually representative of those folks. There may be a crossover. There may be a fuckable Venn diagram, but it's not the same people in that mix. But I do feel like there is a space here where, again, we are dealing with like 5-year-olds. I remember the first time I saw a titty, and it was amazing. it was like the world opened up in a real way. But then I was like, oh. I may see another one at another time in this life.
Maybe. I hope I see another boob. Not you being like, if I don't see a boob, I'm being oppressed.
Right.
And there's a movement in the industry to prevent me from getting a boner. And I believe that it's funded by BlackRock because they are against boners because they don't want me to use my spunk socks anymore because I'm breaking my washer and dryer and my mom is mad. Like,
Spunk socks, hashtag spunk socks. But it's real.
It's so like, I crazy. Think also, have you... It's so true that you're so right. Like, their boobies exist in all different shapes and sizes. And so do women, and so do men, and so do people who are in the middle.
Yeah.
And that's what you should see in everything. You shouldn't just see the hottest version of a person everywhere you go, because guess what? That doesn't represent society. There's a reason why people go awooga over Sydney Sweeney, and it's because she looks insane.
Yeah.
Nobody looked at except Sydney Sweeney.
Right.
And like, before Sydney Sweeney, we had the big bazongas of, you know, like a Lindsay Lohan or a Christina Hendricks. Like, and everyone goofed out over that. But it's like, you can have both. You can have both. And like a game like Baldur's Gate or a game like even, I mean, Mass Effect didn't have a lot of body diversity. I just remember the way that like Liara was built. She was sitting. But like, it's there. You're not, the problem doesn't exist. You are frustrated for a lot of reasons. Maybe again, like I said, the perceived lack of quality in games or the predatory stuff that you're pissed off about. Okay. Or maybe you're pissed in your own life and you're not looking inward. You're not focused on you and you're just vomiting bile outwards. And just because people want to see versions of characters that feel somewhat rooted in reality isn't a bad thing, because you will still have characters who are not rooted in reality in your games as well. And they can exist side by side. So What's the issue?
Yeah, I think that that's been the thing that has been the most telling, has been what is the grievance, right? Mm-hmm. Can we give it a space to actually be discussed in a real way? And where does this put itself in the grand scheme of the full conversation? And what always comes to the forefront is that these are really childish, really immature, arrested development human beings who have not figured out not only how the real world works, but like how to fucking share space. This isn't even that deep in terms of like the grand scheme of like, what is the actual thing to do here? Because it really is, you can do what you want to do and play the game in the comfort of your own home and have any experience that you want. But this need to say, these things are so different than what I understand the world to be, and I literally can't deal.
Yeah.
That is the thing that is mind-boggling and troublesome for me, right? Because it doesn't do anything.
And what's funny is if you actually boil down this argument, now I don't think that a lot of the people who are arguing for more video game characters to be the men to be hyper masculine and the women to be super, you know, bodacious, I don't necessarily think they look like, you know, Geralt and Yennefer. I mean, no offense. But what they're ultimately arguing for is representation.
Right.
Which is what they're mad about other people wanting. So I'm sitting here going, do you want your video game characters to look a certain way for you?
Right.
And your group of people.
Right.
But you don't want anybody else to say that or want that. So what did you just take your ball and go home? Like what? You're literally saying that the thing that you want is the thing that other people want and have been enacting in video games. And you want it more and back. But it's bad that they want it. And it's like, hello? Hello? Yeah. I don't understand.
I mean, that's the thing too, right? It goes back to that hypocrisy of you are asking for a thing without even asking what you're asking for.
You don't know what you want. You're just
mad. You don't know what you want. And I think the other layer of that I think before we pivot out of that conversation, because I think I do want to hear about the stuff that you're playing, if you're playing stuff and all that, because I do want to end on that. But the I want you to talk a little bit about the understanding of what we know is going to be in the industry, because I think in the grand scheme, again, we're having this larger conversation about culture, having this larger conversation about the in-group versus out-group pieces of it, which are like, you know, gamers are a part of society and society in and of itself is having this backlash against DEI and wokeness and all these things that we see now kind of infiltrating games. So it is simpatico with what we see in the greater culture. But the thing that I understand, and I know that you have come to this conclusion as well, is just been like, none of us are going anywhere.
No.
So then what happens then, right? Because diversity is going to be the same in terms of yes. the numbers in there. Folks are still going to use consultation companies going forward. That's not going to change. They haven't brought enough to the table to make their own games yet. And the idea has been, well, what we're going to do to backlash all of this is boycott the games. And I think most folks are like, that's great. Please go away. Boycott the games. What are your thoughts about, like, where do you think this is going to kind of continue to go? Where do you think this will wind up ending?
Well, this is part of the reason why I've said that I think, like, industry leaders, like leaders, you know, like people who run entire studios, you know, people who are like the daddies of the game industry have to talk about this stuff, because it's already been proven that the, like, not talking about it the first time around, even though a lot of the things that they wanted, whatever they were, never really came to be, was still considered like a tacit, like, okaying of the way that people were behaving. So I think ultimately what they're trying to do is scare people out of this industry, or to bully people out of this industry, or to try and find something that existed 10 years ago on a fucking Tumblr page and send it to their company and be like, look at this. Or in the instance of me saying, you know, I'm racist because I said you can't be racist against white people, and emailing my company over and over and over again, she's racist and you need to fire her. She's racist and you need to fire her. Really funny how cancel culture can, like, work that way, but not the other way in their mind. But anyway,
right?
I think what they are trying to do is bully people out of these spaces. And I fully believe that if the people who are considered leaders of thought and captains of industry are not speaking with their chest about how this is not okay, then it's going to continue to fester. And I sincerely hope that people are not bullied out of this industry. Because that's not what anybody fucking wants. But I do think that they don't have a set goal. They just want the people that they think are a problem to disappear. And I really believe that with the right approach from people who work in this industry and people who write about this industry and influencers in this industry, we can, you know, basically starve this flame of oxygen. And eventually they can go back to their little wank corners and pick up their little spunk socks and get back to it, boys. But, you know, I do think that there is really no set, like, give me your, like, declaration of fucking independence. What do you want?
Right.
What's the goal? Tell me the goal. Because right now it just seems like you're doing a lot of, like, spearmongering and making up boogeymen and posting pictures of black women or pretending that we're going to get married and, like, harassing me or harassing someone else. And it's like, well, what's your goal? And I don't think there is one. And I think eventually, I don't think any of these motherfuckers have cardio. I think they're going to get tired. And I sincerely hope you do, baby, because I could go all night.
I love it.
So let's do it.
I love it. Let's do it. We got it over here in spades. What are you going to do over there? You got nothing for me.
I'm fucking walking here.
Get the fuck off my block. Get the fuck out of here. It is a lot. And I hope that too. Like, I want these folks to be about it, right? Like, again, I'm all for the free market of ideas. I'm all for the conversation being honest and real and reasonable, right? I haven't seen not a motherfucking Twitter space in all the 3-4 months that all this has happened, where you have multiple places where you have your safe space that is run by Elon to be able to say all the wild shit that you want. But everyone is so shadowy and need to go into Discord and just say, because again, everyone talks a big game, but then when it comes to the conversation at large, everyone gets real, real tight-lipped. Because I don't want to get caught saying the thing. Yep.
That's why they got so mad about the Discord, because I was, like, in the Discord screenshotting their shit and going, the mask is off. This is what they do. They don't want anything. They just want to be little shitheads without repercussion. And that's cool, but, like, free speech doesn't apply to, like, companies. So if you get kicked off a platform because you're behaving a certain way, you can't cry free speech and, like, dab your tears with your American flag. Like, that's not how that works. So I really don't think there is like any sort of goal here except bullying, except harassment, except fear mongering. But yeah, you know what? I'm not going to say I would love to be proven wrong because like, I don't really want to see these guys make or do anything. Sure. Like technically cool. Sure. Prove yourself, I guess. Yeah. But at the end of the day, it's like, make something or shut the fuck up. Stop like taking my articles or taking my tweets and making 50-minute YouTube videos talking about what I've said. Why don't you make something, baby girl? Why don't you do something and contribute in a way that isn't just reactionary, fucking view farming, rage bait nonsense? Because when you ask them to do that, all of a sudden it's crickets.
Oh, 1,000%.
What are we making?
1,000%.
What are we doing?
No one's doing that. And even the folks who are making stuff are kind of willful idiots, right? Where like the layers of it where the folks know that like, as you know, Asmongold will throw up a video that will be extremely stupid, but he knows it'll get him some more money, it'll give him more views and continue to have that stuff in the space. And then all of these other folks are now kind of coming, either reemerging and coming back, like the Quartering and those kinds of folks. Mm-hmm. Or we're seeing all these other folks now prop themselves up. And if you go through the stuff, at least just on YouTube, everything is the same thumbnail, the same verbiage, the same yep. phrasing for the same stuff.
Yep.
So they're cannibalizing each other's views and wind up not doing anything but the same shit. So yeah. it's a really weird, wild world that we live in now for all of what this is. But again, I think like you said, it is that kind of like, well, what you gonna do about it? Part of the conversation. Because again,
yeah, like contribute.
Do something, right? But then you have folks like this. I want to say this real quick because this made me laugh, actually. Really, this was funny. So we saw Niche Gamer come out the other day.
Oh, and basically God, the pseudo-intellectualism is already giving me a fucking stroke. Go ahead.
Yeah. So basically they were like, hey, we talked about Sweet Baby and now PR is removing access from us. So we can't cover games in the ways that we want to because we talked about the big evil Sweet Baby Inc. And I was like, well, that's what happens when you fuck around and find out.
I mean, what's that Eartha Kitt video? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
When the guy's interviewing her and he's like, why don't you have a man? And he's like, don't you think that there might be consequences? And she goes, consequences for what? Consequences. Like, I just imagine that they're like literally it is fuck around and find out. Yeah. I don't know what to tell you. If you are farming hate, if you are supporting movements that are rooted in hate and misogyny and racism and homophobia, and then somebody who works in PR, guess what? Half of the fucking people I know in PR are girlies. They are a member of the army.
Yep.
And all of a sudden you don't want to, like, yeah, that's what's going to happen. Yeah. That's just what's going to happen. So make your own game and do your own PR. And I'm sorry, if someone doesn't want to work with you because you've poisoned the well, like, then you could turn around and use it for your, I'm not allowed, I got canceled and I can't get game codes anymore. It's like, I mean, first of all, come over to Kotaku because that's happened to us before too.
Basically.
Nintendo won't give us shit. So well, we get it. Like, it happens.
Spend that grifter money on some games. Won't you help the economy? Help the gaming industry grow by buying a fucking game. Maybe that's what you can do.
Please.
Maybe that's the way you can contribute to this space. So with all that said, I do want to end on a much lighter note, even though
you've
been fucking brilliant and amazing. And I love you.
I was going to crush this on my head, but I don't think I can. So
I would do it, but then I'll break all this shit. Nobody wants to see a big ass bald man bloody on his own podcast for no reason. I'm oppressing myself. I want to know because
why would DEI do this to me?
DEI, I fucking hate this shit. I'm fucking inclusion on dumb shit. What is the stuff you've been playing? I want to know what the stuff you've been going through because again, this has been like hot and heavy in terms of this year has been monstrous in terms of games that have been out. You know, I'm in Dragon Dogma Land hard playing the hell out of that game. What and Summer Games Fest is coming up in a couple of months. There's a lot of stuff to be coming up soon.
Are you going to be there?
I'll be there, so I'll definitely get to
see. I'll be there. Okay,
we'll,
cool.
We'll hang out. But what are you up to? What are you playing in terms of the actual space right now? What's the stuff that's getting you excited and hype?
I'm embarrassing. I'm still an Overwatch pig. I play Overwatch like every night to try and crank my rank, as I say to my fiance, but can't get my rank up because that game's fucking broken.
Yeah.
play a little Fortnite. I like to play a lot of like wind down, just play shooters. But what I am doing is a complete rerun of Elden Ring because I want to start from the beginning with a complete new build and give myself enough time to get to the DLC. However, I do have Dragon's Dogma, and I think I am going to put Elden Ring to the side. Even though I told myself I would just play, like, focus most of my, like, long-form game time on Elden Ring. I've heard, like, I've read and edited so many articles about Dragon's Dogma that I'm like, fuck. There is also, we're shooting a video on Thursday at Kotaku where I have never played a Final Fantasy game, and the Kotaku staff is going to convince me which one I should play first.
Oh, okay.
They've been told to make PowerPoint presentations to try and sell me on their game. and then I will be picking the one that they successfully sold me on and playing that as well. So it's really funny, though. Like, I think people, the joke is that, you know, we don't play games. And the problem is that I don't have a lot of time, and I do like playing quick match games of like Overwatch or Fortnite, because if I start, like when I played Baldur's Gate last year, I had no sleep schedule. I was just, I was coming home from work. I was working out. I was making dinner. I was showering. And then I was on the couch from 8 o'clock till 2 a.m. And it's like, I am in my 30s. That is not sustainable. You're playing Dragon's Dogma though?
Yeah. I'm enjoying it.
Are you loving it?
Yeah. I mean, it was, there are small things about it that I wish were different. They did go a very old school route in terms of some things. And if you're an archer, that game is just fucking madness, because you're like, I can't lock on to shit. I think I'm aiming in the right direction. I think that's going to hit. It might do what I'm supposed to be doing. So it's that kind of stuff. But I'm finding a lot of really like good nuggets in there. Like, it does feel like you're traversing this huge land, and you never know what's around the corner. And, you know, fuck harpies, because those motherfuckers are no joke. roll up and like grab your ass and throw you off a clip. It's fucking great. But it's like, it's fantastic so far. I'm having a blast with it. But, you know, I'm just waiting for Stella Blade to come out so I can smell that ass with my gamer sense.
Hey,
stuff I got.
Yo, do the naked run.
Naked run.
I'll be like, I can't pay attention.
I don't know how to play this game. I'm so.
I put on the naked run and now my pee-pee feels funny.
I can only play this game when I'm covered in baby oil.
It's like that Broad City episode where Fred Armisen dresses like a baby. They clean his whole apartment and they're like, dude, pay us. And he's like, I'm just a baby. I don't have any money.
It makes me sad, too, because I'm like, man, if y'all are going this hype over this medium ass, what you going to do when you see Beyonce in person? Like, what you going to do when you see somebody who look like, when you see Megan in person?
Exactly. Like, when Megan is in a video game, stop it. There's going to be 911 aneurysms. Well, across the country.
You know what? There won't, because they're black, so they'll automatically be like, no.
That's fucked. Megan Thee Stallion, you would be lucky to smell Megan Thee Stallion's farts. You would be blessed.
Look. You lock me in a room with Megan and Rhea Ripley, I'll die a happy death.
I love Rhea Ripley. I love Rhea
Good
Ripley so much.
Lord. Anyway, I want to thank you for coming and hanging out with me. It has been everything that I hoped for and more. I want to say before you go and before we hit our break, I really do want to say you are brilliant. I think the work that you do in this industry is needed. I think the work that you continue to do in this space is smart. It's thoughtful. It really does have its pulse on the culture of where we are in this industry. And for as much shit as you get, I really do appreciate that you will punch back in the ways that you do. I think, you know, my New York born and bred heart, I know that you're my people in that way. Like, we don't play around with people who are like, yo, you want to talk some shit? I'm going to give you the shit right back, because it doesn't make sense not to. So we're equals in that respect in a lot of different ways. And I appreciate the fact that you continue to do that and to still keep a sense of humor around all of it. Like, you have really good perspective, which I think is a thing that is not found in this industry a lot. I think a lot of folks really dig their heels into turtling and dig their heels into kind of hiding away from an issue. And it doesn't mean that I want you to be on the front lines, but I do appreciate you being a soldier in the fight. And I think that means a lot.
Don't make me cry. But Man, I can't, like, there's so many things I could say to you about, like, the work that you do and what you just said to me and how much that means, and just like the space that you held for me and you hold for other people, and how loud and like full-throated you've been about this entire situation. And unfortunately, it does kind of always end up being women and women of color and people of color who do this kind of stuff.
Yep.
And it sucks that you have to do all that heavy lifting, but that's why we're so strong.
Yep.
And I can't thank you enough. Like, I'm honestly, like, honored to be here, and I'm honored to have you as a friend. And we're going to get drunk at Summer Game Fest.
Oh, yeah, we're going to get litty for sure. I think we got to do it for real, because, again, it's been a real hard year, sort of real weird year. And to think, again, like, what I hope that all of you have kind of come to this conversation with is an understanding that, again, folks like Alyssa and folks like Ash, folks like me, so many folks who have been doing this work, we're not just doing this because, like, yeah, we love it, and we wouldn't be doing it unless we did love it. But, like, we know what the fuck we're talking about. And I think that is a huge part of where the industry continues to miss its own place in these big conversations. The folks who were the loudest and the meanest and the most ill-informed don't have the knowledge of the people who have been doing this work and have been getting up every day for multiple years to make the games that you get a chance to enjoy. Woke or not, medium ass or not, bare fucking or not, all of these people are doing the work to give you something to enjoy. And if you choose to not enjoy that, at that point, it's not on us, it's on you. So, like, figure that out, get your life straight, get into some therapy.
Look inward.
And clean them socks.
Wait, wash your ass.
Wash your ass. Wash your butt. Wash your hands.
Clip
wash
your toenails.
Butt.
Flush your teeth. Thank you so much. Thank you so, so much. I'm going to go watch hockey and get really high for a little bit. Pretend like I'm not getting, you know, wedding invitations from Grums in my timeline.
Lord have mercy. Yes. Go enjoy the game. Let's go Rangers. Love to you. And we'll definitely have you on the show soon. And we'll catch up at Summer Game Fest for sure. So
yeah, dude, I'll message you before that for sure.
Yes. Hit me up. We got some good things to talk about. Everybody at home, give Alyssa Mercante your love. Give her some support. And we'll be right back after this with more Spawn on Me. Show the guns. Bye. Oh shit, the guns are out. Let's go. All right, y'all, we'll be back in 2 and 2.
I'm leaving.
Hey everybody, Khalif here from the Spawn on Me podcast. Hey, we have been in the market for new PCs for a long time, and for our 10th year anniversary, the wonderful folks from NZXT have partnered with us in a collab to be our hardware sponsors. So if you are looking for a new PC to stream or to game in the best way possible, go check out nzxt.co/spawnonmebld, and you'll be able to find a perfect PC for you, whether that be the Player 1 machine, Player 2 machine, or Player 3 machines, the ones that we're rocking for our new studio build. They have everything you possibly could need for the best PC experience on the planet. Remember to go check out nzxt.co/spawnonmebld, and they will get you set up right. Much love and peace. Welcome back to the Spawn on Me podcast with your host, Khalif Adams. I am that person. I am he. I am him. I am that dude, Khalif Adams, rocking on the Spawn on Me podcast. Massive love to Alyssa Mercante from Kotaku coming through and blessing the stream, blessing the podcast, blessing the show with nothing but bangers, truth bombs, and dopeness every which way possible. I do want to talk a little bit about a couple of quick things on the back end of the conversation for today. And I think the best way to do that is to go into the 411. This week on the 411, we have a couple of conversations to talk to, and nothing super deep. I think they've already been kind of thrown into the ground in terms of what has been discussed and all the pieces there within. But I do want to talk about a couple of things I got a chance to see at GDC and a little bit of the scuttlebutt around the Xbox hardware that's coming out, the Xbox digital version, and the handheld that people have been discussing. I have found it to be really a wild conversation, to be fair, about how people are talking about what the Xbox has become under the tutelage and the kind of like driving force of Phil Spencer over the past couple of years, the past decade almost. And I think, you know, we've seen that conversation grow into a much bigger one now that we see Xbox not necessarily be in trouble, but there is a space here where people are really upset about the potential maneuvering of PlayStation, I'm sorry, of Microsoft and Xbox in a whole. And I've thought it was really interesting that people have been talking about an Xbox handheld as being a thing. I don't know if this is the right move for Xbox at this point. I would love to see Microsoft get into the handheld space, but I think right now the biggest conversation is, where are the games? The games are still kind of, you know, out in the open. We're still trying to wait on and see if those games are going to be coming to the platforms in the ways that we expect them to. And hopefully they will be some that will be doing really, really well in terms of where they land. But for all of this energy that's been in the space about, oh, well, what is Xbox going to do? What is this Xbox digital console going to do? And then everyone clamoring for what potentially could be. And Phil Spencer talked about this and being like, you know, he's kind of wanting to see this be a thing. What would an Xbox portable be? What would it, a handheld Xbox do that will make it that much different than what we've already kind of seen? And I don't know if that's a thing that anyone really needs in the biggest ways. Rob Pijot says in our chat, like, we know Nintendo and PlayStation have identity. Does Xbox have that really? It's a great question. I think the answer would be yes. I think Pigot. Oh, okay. Rob Pigot. Thank you, Rob. Thank you so much for the correction. Rob Pigot. Great question. And I think Xbox does have a identity. I think they have gotten their branding close to the things that we know, like good hardware, thinking outside the box in terms of R&D and devices that we see kind of come out. They have been the bastions in the video game space around accessibility in a real way. But I don't know if that has translated into, we need a mobile device from them. It's been nice to see them partner with other folks like ROG and do things on that space to be able to have that in the mix. But what I am hoping for in a lot of those conversations is, what does it mean if they do get into the space, and how does that translate into the experiences that you have between console and mobile being more closely tied together in a way that you get options that feel different? And I feel like that is the thing that has been my biggest question and my biggest concern, or what they're trying to do. Vicious 696, aka Man Who Can't Cook, in the chat says, Xbox making their own handheld that provides access to your entire digital library with a single simple UI and one button pickup and play is essential in their opinion. I agree. It has to feel like the biggest gap that we see on the Steam Deck when it comes to some of those things is there are still a couple of hoops that you have to jump through to be able to get those things to work. And you want the least amount of friction to get from you holding the controllers, you holding the device, and getting to play the stuff that you want. I think the bigger problem here is that we see this in-between space as well, where everyone wants the Switch to be great. And what I mean by that is, technologically, they want the Switch to be beefier. We see this other space where the Steam Deck is doing that, but also still that has a lot of limitations of what you can do in a small form factor. The ROG, and there's a couple other devices that still, you're still doing this in kind of like 1080p gaming. And for a smaller device with a smaller screen, like, that works. But even at this point, I don't even know if that is still the thing that I'm really excited about. I'll be honest, I've traveled a lot in the past couple of months, and I've not really brought either one of my devices together, because if you're not preloading everything and getting those things together, you know, you got decent Wi-Fi at your hotel or wherever you're at, and you can kind of play stuff. It all still feels like half steps in a technological space where if I just brought a really beefy laptop with me and a controller, that feels still like a better space to be able to play the games that I want at a fidelity and speed that I desire. So I'm hoping all of those things are in that mix in a much bigger way. Paris says, you have to also remember not every Xbox game is available on Steam or PC Game Pass. True. Also, the handheld playing your third-party Xbox games that you already own is a big deal. True. Great points from the man who can't cook. It's a lot of stuff that you should be thinking about in those ways, and I think those do make a big deal. I do want to see what this means going forward. It will be really cool to see if they decide to actually go down that route, and what does that do? But there are still, I would much rather all of the energy right now from Microsoft and from Xbox move towards solidifying the player base and solidifying the messaging and solidifying Game Pass and solidifying all these things. I feel like even if you just think about, you know, where people are, there's still a gap between what people want, what people are seeing, what the conversations that are happening externally, and how those are kind of hitting you as a player in a lot of different ways. We're still, you know, not into the space where a lot of the beefing and complaining that happened from the Xbox community has come to fruition either. Like, again, we're still waiting for things to roll out with the ABK acquisition and a lot of the planning that has been coming out, or at least discussed from Xbox and the brass for a while. So we're still waiting to see some of those come to fruition. I want those to come to fruition first before I start worrying about a handheld console, which I don't know if is going to do that much work. Last thing I'm going to talk about this week on Spawn on Me, and again, everybody, thank you for listening. There is this really interesting device that has come out. A lot of people have kind of clowned it initially with the initial tweet that we saw from Jeff Keighley around this device called GameScent. And we're going to have those folks on our show hopefully sometime soon, because I went into it skeptically. I had a demo of it at E3. E3 doesn't exist. Fuck. I had a demo of it at GDC. And I went into it and came out of it actually pretty impressed with what they were doing with it. Yes, there is a layer of AI because it is talking to the cloud for some stuff. That automatically, I know, raises some folks' hackles and being like, oh, AI, this is terrible. It's already bad. But the conversation I had with the team was they were looking at it from a couple of different really smart ways. One, there's a mobile app, so you can trigger things that you want when you want them. There's a couple of different scents that are kind of the base scents, and they don't really mix. That was the thing that I was wondering when I talked to them. I was like, well, do you basically, to get some of these smells to be properly kind of connected, are you mixing smells to basically give you a hybrid of what those things are? And they said no, which I thought was fascinating. I mean, they basically said the science of it doesn't really work in the ways that you want it to, so they are not doing that. So you had a couple of base smells. One was like forest, one was like rain, one was like a clear the air smell so that your house doesn't get, you know, fully run over with all the stuff. There's one that does smell like potential, like what gunshots would smell like, or, you know, the gunpowder after a shot goes off and stuff. But when I got a chance to check it out, what was really interesting was this went along with sound. So sound was the thing that triggered a lot of the potential activations for certain smells. Like, some of the smells that came out of this were, you know, the gunpowder smell when a shot was going off. Some, again, audio is the thing that it's pulling from. So it can be a, you know, when you talked about it, it could be a prompt that comes in through audio that happens there. Some of the stuff that went through when we kind of drove through this piece of Far Cry, it was like, oh, okay, so the first thing that smells as soon as you come into the space is like you can hear rain. so rain smell would kind of come out of the device. You could smell, or you can hear that you're kind of trampling through grass in some of the spaces. And then that was a thing that wound up kind of enveloping the space with its smell. This is, I maybe not have gotten the right video where you can see the atomizer working, but see the smoke kind of coming out based on certain things. So I'll have more videos and more stuff, and when we get them on the show to talk about it, we'll be able to talk about it in more ways. But the grand scheme is I have a device now. They sent me one to test out and play around with. It has six different smells in their starter pack. One of the cool things was they talked about how they're working with their own community to say, here's the kind of starter smells that you want. But if you wanted to do like a horror game, what would horror smells be like? What, you know, do you want the smell of blood? Do you want the smell of mustiness in a room, or what a gamer gator smells like? What is that musty smell that you want? There's a lot of stuff in there that they can play around with. And they said, if there's enough kind of drive from their community to be able to get some of the smells that you want, you can crowdsource it, and it wouldn't cost them that much to produce it and then be able to use it and give it to the community while they're also testing stuff out. So initially I was like, went into it and I was like, I don't know if this makes sense. But after leaving, I was like, this could have some really interesting use cases. There's also going to be a version that is not gaming related. It's going to have one that is more directed towards movies, which I thought was also pretty smart in terms of the way that they're thinking about it. So, like, you know, I know people are kind of poo-pooing the initial thing about this. I've seen some people talk about it online and be like, I hate it. But, like, I think there might be an interesting thing here, right? There could be some fun stuff. And at worst, if you don't want to use it to kind of trigger things in a gaming perspective, you can totally just use it like a regular atomizer that fills your room with something, with some kind of smell, like the fresh linen or whatever it may be. I think that's kind of cool. Like, you can use it for that stuff too. And, you know, have it just trigger when you want it to trigger and do it that way. Like, I think that's kind of dope. It's not super expensive for what I saw. But again, I want to not dig into it too much because I don't remember all the details from the interview that we had. We kind of talked and I recorded some stuff, and, you know, we dug into a lot of the nitty gritty of it. But, like, talked about, like, things that they don't want to do. Like, they didn't want to do, like, porn smells and sex smells and all that kind of stuff. They wanted to kind of keep it in a more reasonable light, knowing that there's some degenerates out there who want to be like, I want to smell the bussy. I want to smell the Stella Blade booty butt. Like, I know, but calm down. Anyway, I wanted to thank you all for another dope episode of Spawn on Me. Again, you only get this kind of stuff here on our show. It has been great to have all of you back here. It's been nice to get back into the saddle again tonight to spit some hot fire. This episode will be up on our feeds tomorrow. I'll edit it tonight and get it ready for tomorrow. I'll probably get it in the mid-afternoon around noontime Pacific. But again, massive love to the homie Alyssa Mercante for coming through and hanging out with me today. I think she nailed it. And I think the chat was brilliant today as usual. So massive love to you all. Thank you to the mods for keeping the stream clean. Thank you to everybody who came in both on the pro and anti side and saying what you ever wanted to say. I'll be checking through to see if there's some clips that I might be able to share. And there's definitely some good stuff in here that will get clipped out and pushed on social. So pray for my mentions. It'll be great. Until next week, we got more dopeness. I will be out of town potentially later in the week. I may be going home to New York for a day or two. So I may be in the NYC area checking out some stuff. So I haven't been home in 4 or 5, maybe 6 years. So going back to NYC will be a really interesting time for a quick run through and then going back home. But again, massive love to you all. Wash your hands, wash your butt, clean your dirty socks, if you know what I mean. and continue to speak truth out there. I had a lot of folks be really nice about, you know, seeing me go through it online and stuff like that. And it's been funny to see the responses from people who don't know how to read and don't know how to talk and don't know how to make a coherent argument. But it has been nice to have so many of you continue to be in our corner and continue to showcase why gaming can be great if we allow dope people to make dope things and we shout down hateful, evil motherfuckers. So until next week, peace out. Have some fun. Let's go Knicks. Let's go Rangers. And let's go Mets.